Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from our gospel reading from Luke chapter 5 with an emphasis on these words. When Simon Peter saw the miraculous catch of fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. But Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. There's a popular question that is asked by many mainline Christian movements that, while certainly well-intentioned, oftentimes causes more orthodox believers to do kind of a facepalm. And that question is this: where were you when you found Jesus? That saying is inspiring and motivational, and it certainly gives you a sense of ownership over your faith. But biblically speaking, it's also quite inaccurate. Now, this is not meant to upset anyone here who has used this sort of lingo before, but rather only to challenge you and to hopefully share with you some very good news. For you see, man does not, in fact, come to God. We do not find God. Indeed, in our catechism, we confess that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. So the good news, then, that I want to share with you this morning is that if we cannot come to God, then it must be God who comes to us. The Scripture, indeed, is nothing but a book chronicling God's coming to man to dwell with him and to rescue him from his sin. In fact, that is precisely the reason, precisely what we see in today's gospel from Luke chapter 5, the famous story of the miraculous catch of fish. Throughout this season of Epiphany, we have been examining the various ways in which Jesus comes to his people, the various ways in which he has revealed himself to us up through now in his ministry. You see, he begins at this point in Luke chapter 5 to reveal himself to his disciples, beginning, it would seem, with St. Peter. Now, some of you may have noticed, however, that the Peter that we see in this text isn't exactly the mighty paragon of the early Christian movement that we're all so familiar with. Here, he is Simon the fisherman. And Simon the fisherman, it seems, is a little bit slow on the uptake. He doesn't exactly hear Jesus just when he comes to him. To use that familiar but oftentimes inaccurate phrase again, Simon hasn't found Jesus in Luke chapter 5. Though I dare say it's not as though Jesus was hiding himself from Simon either. So far in our readings for Epiphany, we have seen Jesus turn water into wine. We have seen him cast out demons with a single authoritative command. We have seen him proclaim good news to the poor and liberty to the captives. We have seen him heal various diseases, including that, mind you, of Simon's own mother-in-law. But despite all of this, it's not until today's reading that it dawns on Simon who this Jesus of Nazareth must be. It's not until now that he sees that this is more than just an impressive rabbi or some kind of faith healer or miracle worker. At the display of Jesus on that lake with the miraculous catch of fish, Simon and those who are around him are stupefied. They're awestruck by what they have seen the Lord do. In one quick moment, it dawns on Simon who this Jesus must be. And interestingly enough, I don't know if you caught this, but his reaction was precisely the same as that of Isaiah in our Old Testament reading. He's struck with complete and utter fear at what he has borne witness to. Simon and Isaiah have much in common from our readings for today, in fact. You see, they both have an encounter with the living God. They both then experience terror at his holy presence. They both receive forgiveness, and then, most interestingly, they both receive a commission from God himself to take his message to his people. When Simon was out on the lake in Luke chapter 5, I think it's safe to say that he was not actively seeking Jesus. Simon wasn't out there looking for some kind of great religious awakening, nor had he previously dedicated himself to some sort of pious oath or declared himself publicly to be an apostle. In other words, Simon Peter did not find Jesus. Rather, Jesus found him. Again and again and again, as we see, Jesus found him. Jesus found Simon through his brother Andrew, who first introduced him as the Messiah. He found Simon again in his home as he rebuked the fever that was threatening to take his mother-in-law. He found Simon again at work, in his vocation, on the lake, performing a miraculous catch of fish that would open his future disciples' eyes. Jesus was seeking Simon. He was calling out to him. He was giving him what he needed to believe, but it's not until this last miracle that things began to click. Seeing the miraculous catch of fish, Simon was suddenly overcome with terror. This man in the boat next to him is none other than the Almighty God. And here he is, only a few feet away from a poor, miserable sinner like me. Simon cries out in his fear, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man." But this, too, is such very good news. For if Jesus is seeking Simon, if Jesus is the one casting the net, then in this moment, Simon is caught. For in his terror, he makes a confession before the Christ, thinking that he, like a fish caught in a net, would be destroyed or consumed at the presence of the mighty God. Dear friends, how many times have we, like Simon, been called to by our God but did not hear? How many signs and wonders have we seen but failed to recognize God's care and provision in our lives? How many times have you heard his word in this place? How many times have you received his gifts and then proceeded to go about your business as though everything were just the same as before? You see, we all want to find Jesus. We all want that great conversion experience. We all want to hear the trumpet call and see the pillar of flame and smoke that tells us exactly where we are to follow our God. But we never stop to think that it is in our vocation that God comes to us and calls us. It is at home or with our in-laws. It is in our studies or at recess. It is in the middle of our workday. In these places, God continually makes himself known to sinners. He continues to impart his blessings and give his gifts. Through the proclamation of his word by our fellow Christians, he invites us into his house to receive the still greater gifts of his Son. God daily and richly reveals himself to us. And oftentimes, like Simon, we miss him. So what does he do? He comes to us again and again and again. It's no wonder that when we do come into God's house, that we begin our worship in the very same way that Simon did, by confessing. Confessing that we are totally unworthy sinners, unfit to be in the mighty presence of our God. Nevertheless, it is sinners, men and women like you and me, whom God calls. Like Simon, he gives us his grace and mercy. He urges us, through those who he has called to be pastors, "Do not be afraid. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Dear friends, God has found you. He has called you, despite your sin, to this place to hear his voice and to receive his gifts. God does not wait around. He is always at work seeking out the lost. But that's not where the story ends. You see, having found you, God does something else. When Simon Peter at last had his aha moment, when he finally recognized Jesus, he was so overwhelmed that he could only ask his Lord to go away, realizing that he was completely unworthy to be near him. But Jesus had something more in mind. He didn't just comfort Simon, he issued a call. He gave him a course of action. "Follow me," says Jesus, "from now on, you will be catching men." Jesus would take Simon the fisherman and he would make him Peter, the apostle, a pastor, a servant in his church. He would call this lost sinner and he would accomplish his great and mighty work through him. And so it is with we who also receive Jesus. Here in his church, Jesus again draws near to us. He gives us his great epiphany through word and sacrament. He makes the forgiveness won for us by his suffering and death on the cross known to us through his absolution. He proclaims the good news of his coming kingdom. He sets the captive free. And then, dear friends, he does something else. He calls us, all of us, to follow him. At his call, St. Luke concludes his reading by saying that Simon and James and John dropped everything that they were doing and they immediately followed Jesus. They answered his call to ministry. They became apostles and they would even go on later to forfeit their very lives for the good news that was being revealed to them right here on this lake. How do we, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, answer his call? After all, not everyone in this room is called in that same way. We're not all called to be pastors. But you all, each to a person, are called into the priesthood of all believers. You have all been found by Christ. You have all been given the same good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation in his name. When this same Jesus reveals himself to you in your vocation, in your daily lives, how is it, I wonder, that you will answer? When your children need to be taught the faith, will you shirk your responsibility? Will you say, "No, that's the job for pastors and Sunday school teachers for 1 hour a week on Sunday morning"? When your coworker or your classmates come to you in crisis, will you blow them off and just give them a token, there, it'll be okay"? When your friend opens their heart to you, desperately seeking guidance, will you release them to the shifting sands of this world? Or will you answer the call? Will you point these people whom God has placed in your care to their Lord and Savior who is so desperately seeking them? Will you, like Simon, recognize the Lord and the tremendous opportunity that he has placed in front of you? Will you drop what you are doing? Will you take up your cross for the sake of the kingdom and for the salvation of your neighbor? Christ calls all sinners, both men and women whom he has sought out and paid for with his blood, to come and follow him. Now this work, we know, will not be easy. But take heart, for the burden has already been placed on your Savior. And so I urge you, good Christians, to heed his call. For he has made you, each of you, to be his church, his fishers of men in the churning waters of this sinful and fallen world. You are his disciples. You get to cast the net, the lifesavers, to throw them out onto the sea, to pull those who are drowning in sin safely into this ark, this church. Christ will not rest until the very last Christian has been found. And you, dear brothers and sisters, you are the instruments of his search. Thanks be to God who calls poor, miserable sinners and makes them to be fishers of men. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.